SBS Radio.
Here is SBS Radio Home Program, and today we have a special guest named Erin Rhodes, which she also the eco author. So, how can you get involved into the life without plastic or zero plastic lifestyle?
Thank you for having me. So, I live a plastic-free life, and that means that I try to reduce as much new plastic I bring into my life as possible. Mm-hmm. I'm not anti-plastic, I'm just kind of anti its misuse. So I do simple things like when I'm outside of the house, instead of getting a takeaway coffee in a plastic lined cup with the lid, I will sit in and enjoy my coffee. I'll take a reusable water bottle instead of getting a plastic one. When I go to buy my fruit and vegetables, I make sure they're not wrapped in plastic. I just buy them loose, or I use a reusable produce bag. And in my bathroom, instead of using, you know, like liquid moisturizers or deodorants or conditioner and shampoos, I choose things like solid shampoo bars and solid deodorant bars. They come in compostable paper and cardboard. Mm. And which means that I can reuse that paper first, like say to write a list or to use as a craft project with my little son, and then it'll go into the compost bin. So unlike plastic, which goes to recycling, only 11% of what we send to recycling of that plastic gets recycled. In our bathrooms alone, Australians are discarding 356 million plastic bottles a year. It's huge. So just making those simple swaps can make a huge difference.
Do you think that from around the world, there are many amazing things happen, even in Indonesia, which they're making plastic bag from corn starch or sugar cane or even cassava. In the Netherlands, a young man of 20 years old is planning to clean the plastic from the global ocean. How amazing it is. But, you know, it is very hard to change people's old habits to new one. So how do you persuade raising awareness so people know the detrimental impact of the plastic towards a global community and its ecosystem?
Yeah, so I think some countries who are doing it really well are actually like Rwanda, mm-hmm. and Kenya. They are really leading the way in terms of creating legislation where people are fined if they are using any type of like single-use plastics, like plastic bags, but they also have quite a lot of education as well. And education, I think, is key. Having the laws in place of phasing out plastic bags is great, but we need to provide that education to help people understand why to make the change, how to create new habits, and to remind them that you can live a very fun and fulfilling life without all this plastic, because our great-grandparents survived and thrived without all of this single-use plastic very well.
Yes.
And we can go back to that easily.
Uh-huh. Do you think that Australian communities or individuals or business, including the Australian government, pay much attention to this environmental issue?
I think we're starting to see a lot more people wake up to this issue, especially after the War on Waste, which aired the last 2 years, which mm-hmm. has been fantastic. And there's a lot more articles coming out now. But I think there still needs to be a lot more education, especially in Australia. I think there's quite a lot of people who don't realise the detrimental effects of this plastic. Like, it will sit around for over 400 years before it starts to decompose. And in the meantime, it can get out into our environments. You know, as a mum, I just get worried about, you know, what kind of world we're going to leave the next generation. They're going to be left to clean up our mess.
Or even the food source will go extinct, and no more food source from water, from sea, from ocean.
Exactly.
For next generation.
Yeah, and there's so many communities in the world that rely on healthy oceans to survive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we do here in Australia can impact other countries and vice versa.
So what is the reaction to the Australian community or global community towards what you're doing now?
I think there's a lot of excitement. There seems to be a big push to move towards zero waste lifestyle habits, where you reduce and you reuse a lot more. Especially in Europe, there's a lot more investment happening there to create these kind of industries, to create the closed loop system where nothing is wasted. If we could start to see some more of that here in Australia.
Okay. What stopped Australia from doing that?
I'm not sure. I don't think that there's enough education here.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're seeing like that brand like Etique in a mainstream store,
mm-hmm.
hopefully we'll start to show people that there are zero waste alternatives out there and you're not having to give up. I think a lot of people in Australia feel that they'll be deprived if they have to choose the environment over something else. But in reality, we need the environment to survive and to live a healthy life. And if we don't have a healthy earth, then we won't be healthy either.
So you mean that every individual, organizations from the communities, business, government, or whoever, or research center, supposed to work together to do their parts and enact legislation to protect the environment?
Exactly, yeah. We all have to work together. It can't be just us, the consumers, making all the changes. We need government to provide funding to create new technologies, perhaps.
Yes.
Or invest in companies that do refill and return type schemes.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got money there. We've got people who are ready to start up these kind of businesses. And we can look to other countries in the world who are leading the way and see how they're doing it, and learn from them and bring those practices here to Australia.
Mm-hmm. But it is very reluctant from the Australian government. Even the energy policy, they couldn't even get it out and execute it. So when it comes to plastic or recycling, some of the plastic don't even end up in recycling system, but end up in landfilling. So
yes.
Like how would we go?
What we're seeing in Melbourne at the moment this week, we've got so much plastic sitting, waiting to be recycled, but because of the potential risk of it creating a fire, they're now sending it to landfill.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show that we have too much plastic in our world, and we need to turn off the tap. We can't just recycle our way out of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
We need to reduce the amount of plastic that we are manufacturing and using.
Is it possible that Australia can learn some lesson from some of the European or Northern European countries, like turn waste into energy?
I'm not for a waste of energy, and that's only because in European countries who do have the waste energy, they're fantastic recyclers.
Mm.
So they understand the value of their materials. They separate all of their recycling, like the consumers will drop off their bottles in one location and their paper in a different location. So they understand the values of materials. But here in Australia, we mix all of our recycling in our curbside. And if that is then used for incineration, perhaps, then we will never learn the value of materials here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to just keep producing more things to burn.
Yes.
Well, a lot of those countries in Europe, they don't create enough rubbish anymore to burn. So
yes.
They have to go buy their rubbish from other European cities.
I see.
But here in Australia, I don't know who else would be able to do that from. So if we keep consuming and producing things, we're going to have to keep mining new resources, and that could have a huge toll on communities, on the environment as well. So I think incineration is probably a route we shouldn't go down. I think there's other options to create clean energy.
Yes.
And other options to do with our rubbish too.
Mm-hmm. Or either the local council or Australian governments might impose rubbish tax. So the people create less waste.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea. I think, if we could somehow adopt a method like, I really like the one that's in Switzerland, where consumers have to go and buy garbage bags, specific garbage bags. They come in three different sizes and they all cost a different price. Obviously, the bigger the bag, the bigger the price. You're only charged for how much rubbish you produce. So if you don't produce any rubbish, then you don't have to buy that rubbish bag. Uh-huh. If you produce a lot, then you have to buy a bigger bag and you have to pay more. So I like that method. They just buy them from like their post office, and that money then goes back into environmental initiatives.
Yeah, some people might think that will not be fair because we are the small consumers, and those big companies, multinational companies, they create more waste than us. Why should we be punished for that?
That's true, and we should be as well when it comes to reducing waste. Instead, look at how we spend our money and support more local businesses. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, if you support more local businesses, less waste is created as well because things don't have to be shipped as far. Mm-hmm. Usually if they're shipped a long way away, then it requires more plastic and more materials.
Yes.
So if we can support smaller businesses here, then we can also have conversations easier with these smaller businesses and help them reduce the amount of packaging they create. Because you're right, it's the bigger businesses that create so much of this waste, and they're not doing enough. So we as consumers can, if we can, turn away from those businesses, or you know, really start to ask our governments to penalise them and put a tax on them and get them to make some more changes. We've got a federal election coming up, so I guess we can, you know, use that time to contact our MPs and let them know, you know, what we want them to do for us. They're hired by us. And they need us. So if we keep speaking up about the issues that we demand, then hopefully some more changes will happen. But we've just got to keep speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hire them to represent our views.
Yeah.
We have to remember that.
Okay. So what is your message to Austrian communities or global communities about zero waste lifestyle?
Yeah. So for a zero waste lifestyle, it's all about learning to stop and think before buying anything. You know, assess if you really need it. Can you buy it secondhand, or can you get it from a family or a friend instead, or hire it from somewhere? It also means when you're stopping and pausing, it's when you're at the supermarket too. Try and look for perhaps products that don't come in plastic, and you know, something like a glass jar can be reused. Cardboard can be reused or composted instead. If you don't compost, start composting. Most of our waste that we create is actually food waste. So if we can take that out of our bins and we start composting, then we can put those nutrients back into the ground. And those nutrients then go into our food as well. When they're in landfill, they're absolutely wasted. And if you want to see more of a circular economy where there's no waste, then start contacting businesses and contacting our politicians as well, and let them know that we want this investment. There's conversations happening already, so we just need to keep reminding them to keep moving in that direction.
Okay, so be proactive.
Be proactive, yes.
Okay, thank you so much for your time, Erin Rhodes, the author of the...
Yes, The Rogue Ginger, and I've also got a book called Waste Not, How to Make a Big Difference by Throwing Away Less.
Thank you so much for your insights into SBS Radio Hmong program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.